You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on my couch. Welcome, everyone, as you are every Friday, 11 in the morning Pacific Standard Time, to find out how to feel better, how to make your life work, how to help your relationships get a little better, changing your thinking, your lifestyles, doing all that stuff. Yes, doing the work. It's not that difficult if you just check it out every week here, because I have some terrific self-help and amazing authors who come on and help you, as well as, I give you my own tips and ideas and suggestions. And I always like to emphasize that we don't have a therapeutic relationship per se. You know, we don't, but I do give you suggestions and tips on how to make your life a little bit better, how to, you know, feel happy every day. Happy. Yeah. No, I couldn't use Pharrell's song today for the theme song. He wants too much money. Even for 5 seconds. Can't do it. So, speaking about which, what do you think is the most common question I hear from patients? Yes, you're right. Giving you guys all the kudos today. The most common question I hear from patients is, what can I do to be happy? I'm not happy. Okay, here's the deal. The truth is, in a recent study of 10,000 people from every corner of the globe, they rated happiness as being more important than having meaning in life, becoming rich, I hear this a lot, getting into heaven is another one. How can I get into heaven? Do you think I've been a bad person? Dr. Michelle, do you think I'm going to heaven? I have no idea. We all have guilt about certain things we've done, but that's a whole other show, so we won't go there today. We're not going there. Research also suggests that happiness doesn't feel good, but it's good for you. Sure, not only is it's a rush. Get those endorphins going. Stimulate the serotonin, norepinephrine, the dopamine. We're feeling good. Right? And it boosts your immune system, too. And it also boosts your creativity. So when we're creative, we're lowering our stress, because when we create, we're in the here and now. So being in the here and now, focusing on now, here and now, what I'm doing, not worrying about what if or what happened and I was bad and my parents are bad and mean and all that stuff. We are in the now. So here's the thing on that. Studies show that the most psychologically healthy people might inherently grasp the importance of letting some things roll off their backs. But that doesn't mean that they deny their own feelings or usually sweep problems under the rug. Rather, they have an innate understanding that emotions serve as feedback. It's kind of like an internal radar system, which gives us information about what's happening and about to happen in our social world. And, you know, a lot of leaders, a lot of spiritual innovators and super people like my guest today, you know, would say that that's more like showing you the contrast. Ooh, that's what I don't want, so I know what I do want. And also, by the way, a lot of folks who are kind of negative in their thinking and say, I always have to be ready to predict the worst. I want to know what's going to happen. What if,
here's another one I get all the time from patients. What if he leaves me? What if he's cheating on me? You know, he fell asleep the other night and I went into his phone.
I took it in the bathroom, locked the door, and found that he'd been communicating with all these women on text. Who are these women?
Well, we do have to find healthy people who we trust, and it's difficult sometimes. Don't mean to be negative. But the thing is, as a psychologist and most well-being researchers, I don't deny the importance of happiness. Okay? So the healthier life is usually a matrix that includes happiness, occasional sadness. We all have the contrast. A sense of purpose, playfulness, psychological flexibility, autonomy, mastery, and belonging. And that's the way it is. And according to my guest today, happiness is an inside job. Yeah. He says that our happiness comes from the inside, has nothing to do with how big our house is, how many cars we have. you know what I'm talking about, guys. You've heard this. Whether or not, we win America's Most Talented or The Voice or whatever, has nothing to do with that. Of course, creature comforts are important, but happiness comes from outside a little bit. But mostly has to come from the inside. And we're usually severely imbalanced towards trying to get our happiness from circumstances and other people. So my special guest today is going to tell us how to wake up! Snap out of it! There you are, Will. He's laughing. I love it. Now I got him. Since you laughed at my joke, I'm putting your mic up real early here. But, you know, really, it's like our true nature. Just kind of snap out of it, guys. So my special guest today on the other line here is professional writer, public presenter, been on stage performing for years since he was a kid. But that's another show we'll talk about. life coach, to name a few. Will Wilkinson, nice to have you with us today.
Hey, thanks, Michelle. It's great to meet you on the phone like this.
Well, it's great to meet you on the phone. We've spoken briefly on our own cells, and also I have watched your videos. So I know who you are.
Oh, my God. And I've only seen a still picture of you on your website.
And that's really, as we call it, it's lighted really hot to take away. Right? And there's lots of makeup. So good. I'm glad you're... Anyway, so nice to have you with me today.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Let me just do a little quick intro so folks can know more about you. Among many things, you're a presenter of personal growth programs, corporate trainings. You've also been a professional collaborative writer for decades. Now, I don't know how you find time to do this, but now I understand you have two of your own nonfiction books in print, a novel on the verge, and two more nonfiction books in final edit stages. So, well, my goodness. And also you...
Well, it's odd, yeah. Michelle. I mean, yeah. I've written since I was a teenager, and many of my colleagues don't like to write. I mean, they're published authors, some of them bestsellers, and mm-hmm. they don't really like the act of writing. I'm an anomaly. I'm passionate about writing. I've always loved to write.
Well, good for you, and you have the gift. That's your passion, and good for you.
Well, you know, my belief about that is that we are born with gifts, but I think some of the most accomplished people are those who develop whatever gifts they have, and they may not be born with the best gifts or the rarest, but they, develop them. So I'm a big advocate of, making the most of what you've got.
That's so cool. I know you are. And you collaborate with contemporary wisdom keepers. Helping them discover and refine their voice, as you just said. And
And Michelle, I wanted to thank you. I listened, with real enjoyment to your interview with my co-author, mm-hmm. Master Charles Cannon, spiritual mm-hmm. teacher from Virginia.
Yeah.
And you were talking with him about our third book, mm-hmm. Awakening from the American Dream, where we really did focus on the suffering that's going on in America today. We detailed the disparity between the myths and the facts.
Yes.
In 12 important areas of daily life. And then we offered a spiritual perspective on how to wake up, not just to grim realities, but to authentic happiness.
Yeah.
So looking forward to talking about that today.
Cool. Me too. Absolutely. I love the book. And, you know, you and Master Charles did such an amazing job. And I just to give you guys a little taste, we are going to be talking from or about Will's book, Awakening from the American Dream, From Crisis to Consciousness. We're also going to be talking about your Wake Up and Be Happy campaign and teleconferences that you provide. That's what we're talking about, being happy today, folks. So the book actually, you know, gives a lot of guidance. This is why I really enjoyed it, Will, is it helps us really go through three stages of awakening. And there's tools in there and processes. They're easy to use, immediately effective. And, you know, it's just really, it's a great, great book. And you and Master Charles made a great collaboration because he is more of a, oh gosh, I would call him a monk. I know he's a master, but he's very into his own meditation, personal consciousness and growth. And you are more media socially out there, which makes a great combination.
Well, it is, and we've been writing now for 3 years and have developed a very very deep friendship and collaboration. Mm. And I think your portrayal of the nature of our balance is pretty accurate.
Cool. That's great. So let's just jump into it here. And let me invite listeners, if they'd like to call in, to ask you a question, if that's cool, if they have any questions.
I'm with me. I love questions.
Great. I know you do. To give us a call here. On LA Talk Radio on the couch at 323-203-0815. That's 323-203-0815. If you have a question and you're kind of shy, don't want to get your voice on the air, you can also email me. That email hooked up here to the station is docmichelle@AOL.com. That's doc, D-O-C, Michelle with two L's at AOL. So in your book, let me just say it again, folks, so you can jot it down. Awakening from the American Dream. You talk about how deeply many of us are suffering in the world. You know, it's just, I think this has been, people always suffer, but why do you feel this is really happening a lot more?
Well, you know, let me just provide the premise for the book to give us some background on it. The genesis of the whole project was an article that Master Charles read on how much medication Americans are taking.
Mm.
And so in our research, we found some really alarming statistics. Mm. For instance, in America, which has 5% of the world's population, we consume 80% of all the painkillers. And almost 1 in 10 of us are on depression medication.
That's startling. Startling.
I mean, and it goes on and on. We list a lot of these stats in the book. In 2004, 26% of Americans suffered from diagnosable mental disorders, and I didn't know this, that's our number one cause of disability in the country.
Good heavens. That is really
amazing. And
then, amazing.
You know, when you turn your lens on the economy, there's a matching scenario. 1 out of 4 Americans work for under $10 an hour. Mm. 1 of every 4 of our kids is on food stamps. Mm. So when you put that together, there is a lot of very real suffering going on in the country. And we wrote the book to address why. You know, what are the misconceptions first about America that the stats disprove? And then how can we do something different instead of just assuming that what we're doing is getting results that factually we aren't?
Yes. No, that just makes so much sense. Those statistics are shocking to me. I mean, my world is seeing people who are on medications usually. I mean, that's what I see. But I don't expect, you know, it to be such an, it's like an epidemic, you know, out there. You take a pill, feel better. Yeah.
Well, it is. And, you know, we go into great detail in the book to make the difference clear between trying to get happiness from the outside, whether it's a pill, a relationship, a lot of money, a new Ferrari, whatever, versus happiness that emerges from the inside. And I'm not an advocate for, you know, generalized statements like happiness comes from the inside. Mm-hmm. You know, that's not really true. I mean, if I have the toothache and the dentist fixes my toothache, I'm happier without the toothache. So, you know, let's just admit that a lot of our change of state does come from, you know, improvements in our environment.
Sure.
But that's not the only source. We wanted to provide a balanced view and say, well, there's a lot of other happiness that emerges from within. Let's explore that.
Yeah. So I agree. And in my practice, and I know in yours as well, I see a lot of patients who, you know, when I work with them, I try to get them to imagine what a happy life would feel like. You know, just imagine, let's pretend. Let's go back to being a child, and we're going to pretend. And what you usually get, the yeah buts, I call them the yeah but clients. I hate my job. My parents abused me. My boyfriend, who I thought loved me, broke my heart. I can't trust anybody. So what would you say to some of these people to help them embrace the fact that happiness is their natural state of being?
Well, you know, none of us like to be should upon. So what I wouldn't do is tell them what they should be doing and thinking and feeling. I mean, you know, you're a therapist. The first thing is, you know, empathy, to hear a person, to acknowledge that what they're experiencing is real, you know, to see them and, you know, to touch them with your listening heart, to really, really hear them. So, you know, that's the first thing I do. And, you know, to acknowledge that those challenges, they're very real. They don't get solved just by closing your eyes, meditating. You know, and I like to use stories. I like to use my own stories because they're real for me. And just to pick up on one of the things on your list there, you know, having an abusive dad. You know, my father died, I think it's about 7 years ago now. Great guy, lived to be 90. And he and I became good friends during especially the last decade of his life. But you know, when I was a teenager, he was really tough on me. He thought I was a dreamer, and, you know, I was, I still am. But he shamed me for it. He called me names, and that hurt.
Now,
I could remember that. I could resent him, like his memory anyway.
Yeah.
But
sure.
I came to realize some of the reasons why he might have been like that. His own father died when he was a kid. He had a sister who died of rheumatic fever. One brother died when he was run over on the street right in front of their house. Another brother committed suicide.
Yes.
So, you know, he was an elder sibling. He had to take care of his mother and the remaining kids. They were poor. He quit school. He got a job. And he settled for a safe government job. And you know, he died with most of his personal dreams unlived. So he was frustrated.
Sure.
And he took some of that out on me.
Yes.
And, you know, he could have been kinder to me, no doubt about it. But when I learned more about his story, I came to forgive him. And it helped me understand why other fathers could be cruel to their kids. There's always reasons.
Yes.
And so it really helps to understand, you know, the moccasins another person is walking in.
Wow, well said. You know, and this is such a powerful tool that I use too to help clients. You know, just I understand your mom was an alcoholic, or she beat you, or she put you down, or whatever. But let's go back to her history. Let's go back to her genetics. Let's go. You know, you've got to let you be the adult here and analyze this person as just a person, as just a special person. And you know, if folks have, you know, the narcissism, as we call it, the borderline personality disorder, which is a terrible chemical curse. You know what? You got to understand that sometimes they are doing the best they can, and that's all they know. And understanding and forgiveness and moving on and keeping yourself healthy, that's the way it is.
Yeah, and, you know, the other side of this this issue here that we're discussing, Michelle, you know, we use a comment in the book, happiness is our natural state of being.
Yeah.
Now, that's hard to embrace when you're, you know, really dealing with serious issues. Well, we take about 300 pages to look at it from different angles and try to prove that. But we don't recommend that, you know, you chant some slogan when you're bleeding to death or when you've lost your job, need to be sending out resumes, when a spouse is desperate for more of your loving attention. We advocate facing challenges squarely, but in a very different way, framing them in a positive light. What if things could actually get better? And data is proving, just saw YouTube on this the other day, it was amazing, data is proving that when you begin from a positive place and then go about looking at the negativity, you're far more effective than beginning from a negative place and trying to get positive. So
yes,
the starting point is all important, and we recommend that people begin with a what-if attitude. What if something great was possible?
Mm. I love that spin. Isn't that nice? That's just changing it up a little bit, and let's just think a little bit differently. Not what if the other shoe drops thinking, which is really important. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle here on LA Talk Radio. And I want to give a shout out and thank you so much for today's show sponsor, Glow Soulwear. It's the clothing company that puts love and light in every stitch. Glow Soulwear is high-quality sports and nice casual clothing with awe-inspiring sacred geometrical designs. We call it Sacred G. So when you put on Glow Soulwear, you wear a higher vibration. So lighten up and check out Glow Soulwear. com. Thanks, guys, for being our sponsor today. By the way, in case you want to call in, 323-203-0815 is the number, or you can email me, Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL. And my special guest today is author, professional writer, public presenter, life coach, to name a few, Will Wilkinson, and we're talking about his latest book he co-authored with Master Charles Cannon. It's called Awakening from the American Dream, From Crisis to Consciousness. Fascinating read, guys. Step-by-step processes to help you unfold your thoughts and life, and so you can be a little happier. How about a lot happier? You know? And will you say that it's much easier to be happy than to become happy? See, and that's what I think is awesome about your book. So can you explain the difference between the two, and why is it easier to just be happy?
Well, it's much more than semantics. The American dream is about the pursuit of happiness, about becoming happy, and you know, happiness is portrayed as a result.
Yeah.
You become happy because you get rich, you get married, you get a house, you get a raise, your team wins, etc. Well, fine. But that means that when the opposite happens, you know, your team loses, you don't get the raise, your husband leaves you, etc., then you're unhappy.
Mm.
By contrast, being happy is much easier because it's just a state that doesn't depend on circumstances.
Mm.
And in fact, you don't need to pursue it because you already have it. It's inside you, and you bring it. It's already inside you.
Mm.
You know, we call that authentic happiness, and you show up with it.
Mm.
You actually deliver it into the circumstances. I mean, I'm experiencing that right now with you, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm happy.
Good.
Sitting here in my office in my little cabin in the woods in Ashland, Oregon.
Good for you.
I'm happy while we talk. I'm not hoping that doing a great interview with you is going to make me happy.
Yes.
And that fundamentally different attitude. It's something that I'm bringing. And by the way, clearly you're bringing that.
Oh, thank you.
You're a happy person, and I'm sure your clients are really blessed by the fact of what you bring into those interchanges.
Mm. God, thank you so much for saying that. You're such a thank you. Wow.
Well, yeah, and I've got to really be careful listening to you because I noticed when you were doing that ad, you're so good at it. I don't even remember what it was now, but I sure wanted to buy it.
Good. Well, they wrote the copy for me, and I just read it. And you know, actually, I do.
Well, you're really good at delivery.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to tell you, I've been in radio for 20 years. So how's that?
Well, it's showing.
Well,
it's
thank
showing.
You. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. So let's talk about when you talk in your book, The American Dream, about three phases. And we're all sort of, I think I'm in dreaming a lot. So I tell my husband all the time, I said, my God, I think I went through most of my day dreaming. But I got a lot done. Anyway, the three phases you describe are dreaming, awakening, and being awake. So can you talk about the differences between these three phases and why being awake can lead to more happiness?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's such a great question, and, you know, we could talk for hours on this. But, you know, the first point is there's no silver bullet. You know, we tend to want to win the lottery, get an instant result. We're really clear in the book that there's, we call it the awakening journey. It's a process. And we broke it down into these three stages, and we start by appreciating everybody right where their feet are.
Yeah.
There's so much self-judgment, especially in anything to do with spirituality. You know, we compare ourselves to the guru. and find ourselves lacking.
Yeah.
But a valid spiritual teacher will always help you appreciate your starting point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we begin. And the fact is that in America and in the world, most people are dreaming. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not a judgment, mm-hmm. but most people are still hoping that they can pursue happiness, fulfillment, whatever, and they'll get it mm-hmm. from their circumstances.
Yeah.
So, you know, American Idol, you know, the lottery ticket, pushing our kids in sports, hoping they'll be one of the very, 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 very few mm-hmm. that makes the NBA, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in that first stage, you can't really do much. You can't force somebody to wake up from their dream.
Yeah.
But life provides the pressure. And, you know, things go sour. Sooner or later, a person starts to doubt the dream.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move into, you know, stage two, which is awakening. And this mm-hmm. is characterized by disillusionment.
Oh, boy.
In screenwriting, this is the second act, which everybody hates. And I agree.
Right.
I just finished writing a screenplay, and the second act is the toughest.
Oh,
but it's
yeah.
where you do the work.
Yes.
And in life, stage two is where you get disillusioned. You go, wow, I got my degree, married, I've got my 1.2 kids, there is a white picket fence around my house, I'm not happy,
yeah.
I'm stressed out. God, this isn't working. The American dream is not delivering what I was promised. So
yeah.
in this stage, and this is the bulk of our book, it's
yep.
the biggest section,
mm-hmm.
we get into active questioning of our beliefs.
Mm.
And you know, we focus on 12 areas like media, politics, healthcare, etc.
Yeah.
to really question, why aren't things working? What's the illusion that we've been dreaming in? So that's
yeah.
stage two.
Yep. And a lot of this stuff is based on your research as well. I mean, it's scientific information, folks. So, you know, a lot of people say, oh, here's just another one of those spiritual books that are... No, no. It is indeed an enlightening book, but it's not... It's based on a lot of scientific fact, and you do
well,
analyze.
Well, yeah, you know, we wanted to do more than a series of Hallmark greeting
yeah.
card sentiments, you know. So,
yeah.
for instance, in our chapter on healthcare,
mm-hmm.
We looked into, you know, what is America's healthcare system compared to systems in other countries.
Yeah.
Well, there's some politicians, you know, who will say that America has the best healthcare system in the world.
Sure.
So we researched that,
mm-hmm.
and according to the World Health Organization, and they rank all of their 191 member nations,
mm-hmm.
you know, guess where America sits? We're actually tied in 37th place
Ooh.
With Costa Rica,
oh.
just ahead of Slovenia.
Oh, that's nice.
and they also rank, what do we spend on healthcare? Well, America mm-hmm. is number one.
Yeah.
In other words, and nice to be number one in something,
yep.
we're number one, we spend the most on individual health care, more than any other country,
mm.
yet we're behind 36 other countries, including Morocco, by the way, which is in 99th place in terms of expense.
My
so,
goodness.
You know, these are just a few of the hundreds of facts we unearthed that, in this case, disprove the assumption that America has the best health care system in the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is fascinating. I mean, it really is. We do. We just assume it. We all think, oh, we do, you know. But it is very pricey. It certainly is. Yeah.
Well, and it may be the best healthcare system for some who can afford
yes,
it. But,
sure.
you know, we've got to feel compassion for others.
Oh, my
God,
yes.
I mean, that's really what the book is about.
It is
letting go of our sense of separation and embracing the fact that we're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And we should care about the poor. We should.
Oh,
that's,
my gosh,
that's
yes.
us. Those are our neighbors.
Yeah, it's so true. And as you say, a lot of modern medicine applies Band-Aids to symptoms, just kind of an offshoot here to help folks as well, besides pointing out the statistics and issues going on with our healthcare system. And don't get me wrong, I'm not putting down medicine, medical advancements, things that they're working on. But you talk about your health in terms of if you build it, health will come. How can you
Well, we
elaborate?
Really get into yeah. this in stage three, phase three, which
yeah.
is about being awake.
Mm-hmm.
And the crux of this is personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Individual knows they're authoring their own experience. They choose to express themselves in ways that create a happy experience. The simple phrase that I like is, I experience what I express.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's simplistic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in the 60 years of my life, I've found that it's profoundly accurate.
Gotcha.
I mean, a lot of people will say they feel starved for love.
Yes.
I sympathize with that. But if all they're doing is looking for the perfect loving partner, they're missing out on immediate opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're relating to people all day long.
Yes.
How do we treat our neighbors, our coworkers, the waitress, the gas jockey? I mean, if I really do want more love, then I can express more love. I can be more loving with all those people. I'm free. Nobody's stopping me from giving exactly what I want to get. That's my choice. Mm-hmm. And then I experience what I express. And, you know, if somebody, close to me is being a jerk, all the more reason for me to provide an alternative and be friendly, loving, and happy.
Mm. Isn't that true? And I know you believe this. I won't assume that, but I'm sure you may agree with me. How's that? that is putting it out there in the universe. Show a little love to just folks around you. I mean, that's the energy of the positive things you're putting out there. But we do have to start within first, don't we? I mean, we have to really, maybe not even, it's very difficult for some people to say, I love myself, but just kind of like themselves. Don't we have to work within first before we can sort of be good for other people?
Well, we do, but it's a little bit of a catch-22 because, you know, too much navel-gazing, you know, too much self-absorption, and it's kind of like the penny in front of the sun. It blots out a larger reality. I mean, we're really advocating meditation. Absolutely, get to know yourself on the inside. But in terms of happiness, it's kind of like that Chinese proverb some of your listeners may know. I love this one where... something like, if you want to be happy for an hour, take a nap.
Yes.
If you want to be happy for a day, go fishing.
Yes.
If you want to be happy for a month, get married. If you want to be happy for a year, inherit a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want happiness for a lifetime, help someone else.
Wow. Interesting. Interesting.
So I find that to be true. You know, when I'm really concerned to help someone else, my self-esteem goes up because, you know, who doesn't love to be helped? Now, I'm not talking about caretaking. The greatest example is on the plane, they always tell you to put on your own oxygen mask first. So we take care of our own needs, but, you know, we're here to be helping others just as they're here to help us. We're a community. We're a village.
Yes, we are. We so are. And we are all one. And when we can get into that vibration, and even those who we see who may, and we've talked about this before, you know, and Master Charles and I discussed this, you know, earlier about, how can we embrace the idea that we're all one with no exceptions, you know, when we've been hurt by others or the extremists who hate and brutalize those who don't believe as they do? How do we embrace that we're all one? I don't see in my eyes someone who is a terrorist. I can't embrace that that is one with me. But how do we get there? To that concept.
Well, you know, Michelle, you're putting your finger on kind of the $64 million question, and there's so many layers to it. You know, we can't hope to address the nuances in a few minutes here, but I confronted this challenge in the first book I wrote with Master Charles, which is called Forgiving the Unforgivable.
Yes, she did.
And it's based on his actual experience with a small group of meditators. They were trapped in the Oberoi Hotel in India, 2008, during the Mumbai terrorist attack. And they and others, they were under siege for 40 hours.
Jeez.
Two in their party were killed.
Yep.
Four others were shot and seriously wounded. But when the Indian SWAT teams rescued them, all of them, the 20 or so survivors in his group, all of them expressed forgiveness for their attackers. And you know, that caused quite a controversy on television interviews. Everyone else was shouting for revenge and punishment. But this group of meditators were responding with love.
Yeah.
Now, I interviewed 17 of them, including Kia Sher, who lost her husband and 13-year-old daughter in the attack. And, you know, she described to me the unimaginable depths of grief she experienced. And I mean, I sat there crying with her.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I can't even relate to what it would be like to, you know, get a phone call to find out that your entire family is gone, wiped out. But Kia described her process, and it didn't happen overnight, but coming to a genuine forgiveness for the murderers. I wouldn't say she kind of wished them well, but she felt her anger towards them, but she was unwilling to increase terrorism. She and Master Charles, every one of the survivors, had been practicing for years, living in this awake state, being responsible for their expression. So even in that incredibly extreme circumstance, they were able to express what they wanted to experience, which was love, forgiveness,
yes,
compassion. If they had hated the terrorists, then the terrorists win. Their goal was to increase hate in the world. And they failed, at least with these folks, because they returned love. And in fact, Kia,
yes,
co-founded with Master Charles a charitable organization called One Life Alliance.
Mm.
And she now does forgiveness programs for school children in India, all over the world. She has a suite in the Oberoi Hotel, courtesy of the owners. She eats in the same restaurant where her family was murdered.
Mm.
And I can tell you this from firsthand experience, because she's become a dear friend of mine.
Mm.
She doesn't hate anyone.
Wow.
Kia pours out love. She's the real deal.
Yes.
But that's not because she was a saint from birth. She's been deliberate to follow through on this awakening journey, from dreaming to awakening to being awake. And as we say in our book, anyone can choose to take that same journey, starting from right where their feet are now and taking one awakening step at a time.
It does take one step at a time. And a lot of people, you know, need to understand that if they do that, and it's not hard work, it's not a burn, it's a unfolding or discovery of who they can be and actually who they are. It's just allowing for all the garbage to sort of float away, you know, that's been built in, as you and I discussed earlier, from our, you know, early messages and the negativity and the pain and what seems to be, oh my goodness, struggles.
Well, you know,
in the world.
You asked me about a couple of the little tips that we have in,
sure,
in the teleconferences that I've been doing.
Yes, I did.
Wake Up and Be Happy teleconferences. And one you mentioned, which is like my favorite,
mm-hmm,
is the balance break.
Yeah.
And you were wondering, what does that mean and how do we do it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great question, because, you know, we're so overwhelmed with the busyness of our life. Now, who's got time to meditate?
Right.
And so here's a simple little technique. You know, for busy people, and most of us are, whenever you've got a spare moment, you just relax. You breathe. You let yourself become fully present. I mean, you can do it at a stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
Down there in L.A., you've got lots of chances in traffic.
Yep.
You can wait, you know, if you're waiting for software to load, the broccoli to steam, mm-hmm, you know, any few minutes when you're waiting, you can turn those waiting moments into a mini meditation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty amazing. Actually, I was wondering, do you want to try it out right now?
I'd love it. This is great. Let's do it. Let's just do it.
Okay, well, I'd invite listeners to follow along. Just, you know, slowing down, noticing your breathing.
Okay.
If you're not driving or operating other heavy machinery, you could close your eyes. And just breathe in and out. And feel yourself relaxing, landing right here in this moment.
Okay.
And feel balance flowing through your body, the stress in your shoulders, neck, anywhere, easing, dissolving away.
Mm-hmm.
And just breathe in and out.
Hmm.
And feel into that center place of contentment that resides within you, that calm center. And there you go. That's a balance break. Takes all of like 20 seconds and, you know, really creates a profound shift in one's state of relaxation.
Hmm. What a great tool. Thank you so much for that. That's great. I'm sure I'll get some great feedback from the listeners as well. And I think a lot of people don't realize you don't have to be a Zen master and go Om or Nam-myoho Renge-kyo out constantly in order to meditate. I mean, that is a brilliant example of meditation and taking that time out that you gave others, the balance break.
Well, and you know, the real meditation, I'm sure some of your listeners understand this, meditation was designed to be a way of life, not a technique.
Yeah.
You know, we use a technique, we can use a variety of techniques, but it's all meant to culture an ongoing state of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you asked a question when we were preparing for this about, you know, the comment we make repeatedly throughout the book about opening ourselves to life as it presents itself in every moment.
Yes, yes.
Well, you know, we're familiar with the idea to slow down and smell the flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? There are always flowers of one kind or another.
Mm-hmm.
I was remembering a book called Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki.
Yes.
He's advising a youngster who's just starting his first job.
Yep.
He says, well, whatever money you earn is the least of your compensation. Keep your eyes open. Mm-hmm. The greatest value is in what you learn, the people you meet, the connections you forge. Well, that's always true. Life is always giving us who we need to fulfill our dreams, and we can take full advantage of it by paying attention. One of my favorite books is Aldous Huxley's novel, Island.
Yes.
And in Island, the parrots have all been trained to say things like, pay attention, or concentrate on the here and now, and live every moment while it lasts. So this is not exactly a new idea, but it is a resource that we tend to ignore, just opening ourselves to what life is bringing us now, now, and now.
Oh, that's perfect. I love that. Folks, if you want to call in, it's 323-203-0815 here on the couch on LA Talk Radio. If you want to email me, it's docmichelle@AOL.com. We have a couple of questions here from listeners that have popped up on the AOL line. I don't know if you want to answer them. Should we tackle it? Should we go for it here, Will?
Absolutely. Right. I love questions so far away.
All right. And this is perfect because it was an instant response to what you just said. How can I open myself up to life, quote, as you say, as it presents itself to me in every moment, when I work a 9-to-5 job in a crowded office, I have an unhappy boss. Well, that's a nice way to put it. And I only look forward to the weekends where I can relax. And that looks like it's from Dave here. Thank you, Dave, for writing in.
Yeah, Dave, thank you. I mean, you're articulating a question for literally millions and millions of people. And, I mean, the first thing I want to say is there's no pat answer. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not like a pill to take that changes it. But just looking at the reality there, the thing I'd suggest is to reframe it. Like, instead of saying, you know, I'm working a job I hate, my boss is a jerk, et cetera, all of which may be true, you know, use your imagination and create something else. You could say, well, yeah, I am living my destiny. Mm-hmm. And part of my destiny is to handle challenges. In other words, I am a hero, and I have superpowers that will only be discovered when I face challenges. Mm-hmm. Every challenge gives me an opportunity to discover my superpowers. Mm-hmm. It's like the moth or a chick coming out of the egg, a moth coming out of the chrysalis. If you help them get out, they will never learn to fly, because they need to strengthen their wings by breaking out of what's enclosing them. So right now, I'm not disagreeing that you are trapped inside that circumstance. Mm-hmm. But think of it as a cocoon that you are going to birth from, and that to strengthen your wings so that you can fly in your life, you've got to exercise them by dealing with those challenges. So, you know, you're in the gym. You're in a life workout, and you're getting stronger with every challenge you face.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for helping him out. Thanks, Dave, also for emailing us. And on that note, you and I talked about this, about many inspirational and loving teachers such as yourself. Always emphasize the importance of being grateful in helping to create more happiness in our lives. So, you know, we've all heard about this. Be grateful, be grateful. But why is this so important?
Well, great, great question. And, I mean, if listeners can take this one thing away from our conversation, it can really help them out. Gratitude is a huge key, because when we express gratitude, we attract other grateful people. Mm-hmm. You know, they say birds of a feather flock together. Well, it's kind of like we all have the atmosphere we live in that we feel comfortable. I mean, for a fish, it's water. If you take a fish out of water, they're not going to survive very long. For us, we need air. Put us in the water, we can only survive a few minutes. So we create an atmosphere, say gratitude, we express being grateful. Other people who thrive in that atmosphere will be drawn to us. So in a way, it's really selfish in the highest form, because we're guaranteeing that we're going to have great friends, they're going to be like us. Now, if we're resentful, angry, we complain a lot, we bitch about politics, etc., guess what? There will be people just like us who will be drawn to that atmosphere, and we'll find ourselves surrounded by jerks.
Yep.
So, you know, I remember my wife and I were at a Tony Robbins event many years ago, and he finished it off by saying, here's the one thing that will determine your success or failure in life, who you hang out with.
Wow. That's powerful.
That's powerful. So, you know, I want to be with, you know, people like you, Michelle, happy people, people who are contributing, making a difference. I'm going to be grateful. Not because I'm altruistic or something, but because I know that that's going to attract people just like me to hang out with me.
Yes. And it comes from within, too. It's going to enrich you and say, you know what, I'm on the right track because I'm attracting folks who are on the same mindset. I'm not getting angry, nasty people in my life who are always complaining and not willing to sort of enjoy some of the principles that I'm creating.
Well, and it yeah. does something even deeper too. And this, yeah. you know, could take us off in a direction for hours. But
yeah.
you know, in my work with people, I've really been humbled. I mean, I was pretty arrogant in my youth because I didn't really suffer much. I actually had a pretty good childhood, et cetera, et cetera. And then yeah. I started to meet people who really had gone through the ringer.
Yeah.
So what I've learned is that behind every smile, every casual encounter, mm-hmm. is a person who's actually going through a lot of deep suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And they often don't really have anybody to talk to about mm-hmm. it. They may have a therapist mm-hmm. or a best friend, but what I've learned is that if I'm just showing up as a grateful person, I've got my eyes open, that without kind of getting philosophical with people, just, you know, the nature of our exchange, like with a waitress when she gives me another iced tea or whatever,
yeah.
I can feel some kind of benefit showing mm-hmm. up, that person is having a moment of exchange mm-hmm. with, you know, a nice person.
Yes.
And that may be helpful to them in a pretty dark hour that I will never know anything about.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, I always assume that I'm surrounded by people who are in deep emotional need.
Mm-hmm.
And why can't I show up with an attitude that maybe can provide a little bit of help for them?
Mm-hmm. Way to go. Well said. By the way, I want to also mention, along with, you know, talking about your book, Awakening from the American Dream, that you co-wrote with Master Charles Cannon, your Wake Up and Be Happy teleconferences and all the information you supply along with the facilitators, such as yourself and Master Cannon. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that, because I know we have a hard break coming up with CBS News, and I want to make sure that people know about this and what's going on with 4th of July, too, you know.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Michelle. Yeah, I've been doing weekly teleconferences for a while, and the site where listeners can tune in is wakeupandbehappy.com. And just scroll down to the bottom and click on any of the thumbnail pictures, and they can listen in. It's all free. I've met some amazing people. Usually I'm on the other side of the desk. You know, right now you're interviewing me. Usually I do the interviewing.
Yes, you do.
And I love interviewing. In fact, I'm going to be starting my own online radio show in the fall. So I may call on you for a little bit of advice, since you're such a veteran and so good at it.
Oh, thanks.
But, you know, during these calls, I've, you know, interviewed authors, you know, like Max Strom, who wrote There's No App for mm. Happiness,
mm.
and Marcy Shymoff, who wrote Happy for No Reason.
Mm-hmm.
And these are remarkable people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not only do they have something incredible to say, but they're coming from a place of service.
Yes.
They're really clear
yes.
that they are here
yeah.
to make a positive difference in the world. And my belief is that is natural for every single one of us.
Yes.
That's how we're wired. But there are some of us, like these folks I interview, who really, really leverage their skills, and they become able to really help wake up other people to their gifts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. So, you know, you're talking about this thing going on July 4th, the Interdependence Day. What's that about?
Well, we coined that term. Independence Day, which we celebrate on July 4th,
yeah.
is like an American holiday. It's pretty patriotic.
Sure.
And it's also kind of separatist. You know,
yeah.
it's like we're Americans.
Yeah.
And so we came up with the idea of Interdependence Day to symbolize our togetherness.
Mm.
So we're inviting people to sign our happiness pledge on the site, which, again, is wakeupandbehappy.com. And then on July 4th, we're actually going to have a teleconference on July 1st.
Yes.
And a live teleconference with Master Charles, myself, mm-hmm. and three of our other speakers. So we'll be doing a live event on the theme of interdependence, where we're stressing our togetherness
mm.
and how we all need each other. And there's really just artificial divisions. There's distinctions. We're all different.
Yes.
Wonderful. Celebrate that. But we're all in this together. So it's an expansion from Independence Day.
Ah, beautiful. Real quick here, will. How can folks get a hold of your book? It's, again, of course, Awakening from the American Dream, From Crisis to Consciousness, and find out more about the teleconference that you're presenting on July 4th and all of the other ones that you help in your Wake Up and Be Happy.
Well, the book is on Amazon. You can just go on there and search for Awakening from the American Dream. It's also available on Master Charles' website, synchronicity.org. Mm-hmm. And as we said, the whole Wake Up and Be Happy campaign with all the recorded calls are available on wakeupandbehappy.com.
All right. Thank you so much. What a pleasure it is to speak with you. And I thank you so much for being there for everyone and helping people and just always a pleasure to have you on. You've got to come back again. Hey, looking forward to your next book.
Well, thanks so much, Michelle. And I just want to really thank you for having me on. And I know there are people listening who are really, their lives are enriched because of you and, you know, the inspirational forum you provide. So thank you so much.
Well, it's mutual, my dear. So, and all this information, by the way, will be up on the website here on my webpage on LA Talk Radio. So you can listen to the show tomorrow, guys, and get all the content and find out how to get Will's book, his other books, and also, you know, get into the teleconferences and participate in the Wake Up and Be Happy Interdependence Day on July 4th. All right. Take good care, Will, and blessings to all.
Thank you, Michelle.
All right. Bye-bye now. All right, folks, that's about it. Man, I got to get going. Time flies when you're being inspired, doesn't it? Sure does. Thanks for listening, everybody. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you will be great for others, and that's the way it works. All right, next week, we've got another show back by request on demand. On the 4th of July, we're going to celebrate our lives, honey. All right, I'll be back, and more great authors coming up all throughout the month of July. Take good care now. You can stay on the couch if you like here on LA Talk Radio. Bye-bye.